were unable to attend. We have two presentations today. We will be starting with Andrew Madela from the ANC, not feeling well due to his health. Those are the apologies we're having. We will have firstly the MRC, Professor Antoine Mbeu will be leading us, will introduce the team as well as lead the presentation, and thereafter we will come to the NHLS submission. Thank you very much. What we normally do, if you allow us, just allow them to finish through the presentation and then entertain questions. I see that I haven't seen you for years. How are you? Oh, we're very honored to see you. Thank you very, very much. I'm sorry not to recognize you. Always the weakness of coming late. So you come and you are not able to scan the house properly. I must really take jury acknowledgement of you. I hand over to you, in fact, to first introduce and then take us as to how you are going to present the meeting. Thank you very much, honorable members.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members of the Portfolio Committee on Health. Firstly, I'd just like to introduce the members of our team. First of all, on my left, Professor Makula Ramashala, the Chairperson of the MRC Board. And to her left, Mr. Bulani Mashlangu, Executive Director for Finance and Contracts of the MRC. To his left, Mrs. Sarah Bock, Executive Manager for Corporate and Public Affairs. And to her left, Mrs. Denise Neft, the office manager in the Office of the President of the MRC, and to her left, Mr. Julian Jacob, head of media liaison at the MRC, and to my right, Mr. Zukile Vukwana, executive director for operations at the Medical Research Council. With your indulgence, Honorable Chairperson, I will work through the presentation. You have a printout of it in front of you, and it should take about 40 minutes or so. Chairperson, Honourable Members, we've been requested by the Portfolio Committee on Health of Parliament to present on the Medical Research Council budget and strategic plan for 2007-2008. We will say a little bit about the mandate of the Medical Research Council, its vision, mission and values, its strategic objectives contained in the strategic plan, issues of corporate governance. We'll say something about research, development, and technology transfer, the work of the MRC, something about strategic research initiatives we've identified, and also key strategic initiatives for the organization. We'll then say something about implementation of shared values at the MRC budget, health research priorities, strategic health research priorities, and then the MRC personnel and their productivity, and then finally, research translation, transformation, and conclusion. To start at the beginning, the MRC is a statutory council established through Act of Parliament, and our mandate is legislated in terms of Act 58 of 1991, which says the objects of the MRC are through research, development, and technology transfer to promote the improvement of the health and quality of life of the population of the Republic, and to perform such functions as may be assigned to the MRC by or under this Act. From that mandate contained in our Act of Parliament comes our vision. Our vision is that of building a healthy nation through research. And our mission is to improve the nation's health and quality of life through promoting and conducting relevant and responsive health research. We have shared values that we espouse, and they're listed here: communication, transparency, and freedom to challenge, accountability, responsibility, teamwork, leadership, and participation, respect, dignity, honesty, fairness, and integrity, excellence and innovation, development, reward, and recognition, and much of the work of implementing our strategic plan for 2005 to 2010 involves implementing these shared values in the work and the life of the organization. In developing the strategic plan in 2005, led by the board, together with the executive management of the MRC, we arrived at strategic objectives to guide the organization's work over the year 2005-2010. And these 9 strategic objectives are grouped into 3. The first is promoting and conducting research. Promoting and conducting research is the core business and primary strategic objective of the MRC as a knowledge-producing organization. Without research, the vision of the MRC of building a healthy nation on research cannot be achieved, and therefore our primary strategic objective is our research strategy and business plan. But then the second group of strategic objectives are about professional support for research, because research cannot take place and staff cannot develop unless supported by corporate professional services. And so our financial model, strategy, and plan is essential to our work. Opportunity and risk management is an important aspect of our work. Capacity development is critical in what we do, as is transformation and development. And then lastly, the research that we do can make no difference to health and quality of life unless it is translated into interventions such as health policy, health practice, health products, and health promotion, which all can have impact on the health and quality of life of the nation. And so the 4 strategic objectives of innovation management and technology transfer are important, as well as informatics and knowledge management, research translation itself, and also stakeholder management. In terms of corporate governance, because we are a statutory council, we are established through Act of Parliament, and we report to the Minister of Health. The Minister of Health, as you know, appoints the board of the MRC and appoints the chairperson of the board of the MRC. And the board has oversight over all the activities of the Medical Research Council. I myself am appointed by the board, and you can see from the organogram of the structure of the MRC that in my office I have a board and office manager, Mrs. Neft, an executive secretary, committee secretary, legal services, and executive manager for corporate and public affairs, Mrs. Bock. And then the strategy of the MRC is implemented through the executive management committee, which consists of 5 people: myself, and then at the left of the slide, the Vice President for Research, the Executive Director for Innovation and Technology, the Executive Director for Finance, and the Executive Director for Operations. And in terms of the work of the organization, because research is our core business, the left-hand part of the slide is the core of the organization's activities. Led and coordinated by the Vice President for Research, who under him or her has an executive manager for human capital development, an executive manager for research administration and management, an executive manager for strategic research initiatives, and an executive manager for informatics and knowledge management. So that team of 5 people organize the research within the MRC, and they have a strategic research committee reporting to them, consisting of the 18 intramural unit directors. And on the right-hand part of the slide are the corporate professional support services coordinated by the Executive Director for Operations, Mr. Zukile Bokwana. And they include the National Manager for Operations, the National Manager for Information Technology, the Executive Manager for Corporate Affairs, and also 25 division managers who report to those executives. Now, the work of the MRC, as stipulated in our Act, is research, development, and technology transfer. And in the strategic plan of the MRC, we reorganized the entities within the MRC into six groupings. The first four groupings were research entities, and then the latter two were entities associated with research translation. The first entity was that of National Collaborative Research Programs. Internationally, the pattern of health research is to organize scientists in a multidisciplinary fashion between different institutions working on a common project that takes several years to achieve. And so increasingly what we have been doing over the last 2 years and will continue over the next 3 years is to organize research activities of the MRC International Collaborative Research Program. And I'll say a little bit more about that later. In addition, some of our activities are organized into collaborative research groups, which are regional collaborations between institutions, again multidisciplinary, focused on a particular research area. The classical unit of organization for research within the MRC and many international research agencies is, however, the research unit, a unit consisting of an outstanding research scientist gathering around him or her a cadre of young scientists engaged upon a particular research effort through which many of them become trained and capacitated in that particular discipline. And the fourth and last research entity in the newly organized MRC are research projects. The classical self-initiated research projects whereby scientists from the universities apply to the MRC for funding for research projects for a term of 3 years or so. But we've also added developmental projects whereby we can support research ideas from scientists and universities which may need some developmental assistance in terms of methodology or statistics or whatever. And we're keen to expand the class of research projects which we identify as rapid response projects, whereby Department of Health in particular or other government departments may identify some particular health crisis that requires research to be organized and conducted rapidly in order to find a particular solution for that problem. And we hope to develop that further over the coming years. So those are the four types of research entities: national collaborative research programs, collaborative research groups, research units, and research projects. But then we also have been expanding, or continue to expand, research and technology entities. And these include research and technology platforms, and I'll say a little bit more about that later, and also biotechnology programs, such as the South African AIDS Vaccine Initiative, which, as you know, is a lead program of the MRC established by the South African government. And then we are also expanding commercialization entities, conscious of the fact that it is important for research conducted by scientists that have intellectual property and have potential for commercialization to find an avenue for such commercialization. Now, the National Collaborative Research Programs we have established or are establishing include a cardiovascular disease and diabetes research program. We had workshops last year and early this year and hope to launch that later this year, dependent upon ratification by the board of the MRC. CARISA is a joint effort between CANSA, the Cancer Society of South Africa, and the Medical Research Council to try and expand research activities in cancer, which, as the honorable members know, is a great problem in South Africa. Indigenous knowledge systems and African traditional medicine are an area of work that needs to be better coordinated amongst the scientific community, and we're keen to establish a national collaborative research program in that field. Tuberculosis is the number one killer in South Africa, and the various government departments have been involved in trying to encourage research scientists to collaborate more and coordinate their efforts in tuberculosis research, and the MRC is part of that. malaria is a national and in fact a continental research program of the MRC, which involves collaboration stretching right across the African continent, as well as training of malaria control officers and scientists. The Cross University Brain and Behavior Research Initiative is an initiative of three MRC research units, Western Cape, which hopefully will become a national initiative to coordinate high-tech research in brain and behavior in South Africa. And then lastly, HIV and AIDS, which is a major research thrust of the MRC. And again, there are hopes that there can be greater coordination both within the MRC and amongst scientists generally in terms of AIDS research through a national program for research in AIDS. Now, there are also various strategic research initiatives that in terms of our strategic plan for 2007 we have identified. The National Department of Health requested the MRC together with Biobank to coordinate an Italian HIV vaccine project, which consists of a phase 2 clinical trial of a HIV vaccine from Italy, includes health systems upgrade within the clinical trial centers that will be established, and also HIV vaccine manufacture at Biobank. And so that is a €23 million project funded by the Italian government, coordinated through the National Department of Health, which will achieve all those three objectives. In addition, the MRC has been recognized by the National Institutes of Health of the United States for one of the global clinical trial units in HIV research, undertaking work in microbicides, HIV vaccine development, in HIV prevention technologies, in antiretroviral therapy research, and in pediatric antiretroviral therapy research. We also signed an MOU with MinTech and the Water Research Council to do research in nanotechnology, an initiative that's been driven by the Department of Science and Technology, and also in gold-based pharmaceuticals, together with Professor Kelly Chibale at UCT. We've established a strategic initiative with Fine Diagnostics, a PPP in Geneva, funded by the Gates Foundation, and have started together with the NHLS a program, a demonstration project for new diagnostics for MDR-TB, which will involve about 40,000 tests over the coming months. There's also a telemedicine initiative in KwaZulu-Natal under Dr. Malisi and Professor Ma, and also a genomics and proteomics platform being established in the Western Cape under Professor Jonathan Blackburn. I mentioned research and technology entities as being a fairly new part of the MRC's strategic plan and work. And these include research and technology platforms such as our primate units in Paro and in Delft, the traditional medicines manufacturing plant in Delft, bioinformatics work at UWC using a Cray supercomputer under Professor Winheim, and also collaboration with CSIR and the Moraka Institute in terms of high-performance computing center being established in the Western Cape with support from Intel. And then the biotechnology program, of which the flagship is the HIV AIDS vaccine initiative, which is progressing very well currently. And then I mentioned some commercialization entities, which include spin-out companies and licensing agreements. For example, GeneCare, which is a company that uses DNA-based cardiac diagnostic tests. Stereotactic neurosurgical devices have been licensed out to a company that sold a few hundred units worldwide. Carotino involves a fortification of biscuits with vitamin A. There's a major initiative, 40 million rand initiative, developing diagnostics and therapeutics for diabetes from South African plants, which is a consortium with the South African, with the universities of Southern Denmark, and the Medical Research Council and the Agricultural Research Council. Telemedicine, certain companies they've established, genetic ancestry, traditional medicine, are possibilities in the future. In our strategic planning this year, Honorable Chairperson, we identified six key strategic initiatives for 2007, areas of our work and our life that we need to develop this year and in coming years. One of these was issues around corporate culture and implementation of shared values. particularly in the context of an organization that is transforming fairly rapidly in terms of demography, and also in terms of the work that we do and the culture of work in health research these days. We recognize that we need to improve our performance management systems, that we need to improve the quality of work of our support directorates, that we need to grow the funding base of the MRC, that we really need to review all the policies of the MRC, and that we need to implement an online management information system. And these are all areas of work that the executives and the employees of the MRC are busy with this year. I mentioned right at the beginning, Honorable Chairperson, the issue of implementation of shared values. And there are various programs within this area of work, which include a project office with electronic management systems to ensure transparency, accuracy of the work that we do, fraud prevention plan, which was launched last year under Mr. Mashangu, our CFO, and also a whistleblowing facility, also launched under Mr. Mashangu, a sexual harassment policy that has been operative for the last 2 years now, trying to improve our communication both within the organization and outside the organization, ensuring that our salary adjustments and promotion procedures are transparent and fair and rigorous, and also, as I mentioned, working on issues of organizational culture. Now, the MRC budget has been growing through the years. You may remember, Honorable Chairperson and members, that the MRC budget was doubled between the years 1999 and 2002. And as you can see from the top of the slide, since then, between the years 2004 to 2007, the baseline budget that comes through the National Department of Health has been keeping pace with inflation within the medium-term expenditure framework. However, there has been a much more rapid growth in terms of income from external contracts and grants. And these are mainly competitive grants that are won from agencies such as the National Institutes of Health, Wellcome Trust, Gates Foundation, WHO, etc. And you can see in the middle of the slide that that income has grown over the past 4 years from 162 million to about 244 million. And that the total budget of the MRC, therefore, has grown from 317 million to 434 million over the last 4 years. And the year-by-year increments have been, in some years, quite large, and in some years, more steady, about 5%. Our concern is that the ratio, as you can see from the far end of the slide, of external income to baseline income is about 35% to 50%. And we're always concerned about the issue of becoming donor-driven in terms of our research agenda. This hasn't happened yet, but we are aware of the danger of that. We have been making changes within our budget to try and increase the expenditure on direct research efforts. So we have diverted funds from the support services to research. So operational funding for our support services has been reduced this year by 10% or 3 million rand, and was preceded by a 4% reduction in the year 2005-2006, the typo there. Operational funds and equipment for research, however, have been increased by 16% through diverting funds from the support directorate to the research directorate. And that's an increase of over 7 million rand. And most of that has gone to our 25 extramural units within the universities, about 4.97 million rand. And 2.1 million rand to our 18 intramural research units. This means that now 75% of research operating, capital, and capacity development funds that the MRC expends are apportioned to the extramural environment, and that's over 39 million rand, and 25% to the intramural, that's 13.2 million rand. And this is a determination that was arrived at by the first transformed board of the MRC in 1995. That it was more appropriate to spend research within the extramural environment in terms of leverage and in terms of capacity development rather than purely in the intramural environment. So this has meant an increase in spending on self-initiated research of over a million rand, 1.9 million rand spent on capital equipment within the 45 units. As you may remember, honorable members, in previous years, we had difficulty spending any money on capital equipment. But through rearranging our budget, we've managed to transfer money in order to have 1.9 million spent on capital equipment. 750,000 grand in seed funding for three new national lab research programs, 3.455 million rand extra operating budgets for the units, and 670,000 rand extra for capacity development. Now, honourable members, you may ask, how does the MRC determine its research activities, and how does it determine the allocation of the budget that the government provides it with in terms of its research? What we do in terms of the philosophy of essential national health research, which the MRC has espoused since 1992, is to say that our research allocations should be guided by the health priorities of the country. And then secondly, should pay some cognizance to global health priorities. And so in terms of health priorities of the country, we looked at the burden of disease in South Africa. And the main index that we use is the mortality data that South Africa produces. And in this slide, you can see in the middle of the slide that we've shown mortality as a percentage of total mortality in the year 2004 from South Africa. We also pay cognizance to the national health priorities of the National Department of Health, the strategic priorities that the Department of Health may have identified, also broader strategic priorities that government itself may have identified, such as the need for a HIV vaccine, for example. And so, obviously, in terms of allocation of funds, the lion's share of funding for research, the MRC, goes to HIV and AIDS, which, as you can see, is the number one health problem in this country. Exactly how many deaths there are every year in South Africa is even more difficult to establish due to the comprehensive treatment, prevention, and care program of government, which has over 250,000 people on treatment. There are over 300,000 people on treatment in South Africa, and their mortality would have been reduced through that treatment. And so it is actually very difficult now to actually know how many people are dying of HIV and AIDS in South Africa every year. But nevertheless, as you can see from the far right of the slide, 29% of the global research expenditure of the MRC is allocated to HIV and AIDS research. And something like a third of our scientists are engaged in HIV research, including in this slide you can see scientists from the HIV Prevention Research and the South African AIDS Vaccine Initiative. Tuberculosis, however, is the number one killer, often occurring in people living with HIV and AIDS and accounting for 78,000 deaths in 2004. And so it is the number two priority in terms of resource allocation for the MRC. And as you can see from the far right of the slide, 14% of our global expenditure on research is spent on tuberculosis. And we have four main research units, but a few others also engage in TB research. And then the third major health problem in South Africa, in terms of mortality certainly, is heart disease, stroke, and diabetes, accounting for something like 26% of mortality. And we are conscious of the fact that we need to increase our expenditure on this area of research. You can see it only accounts for about 2% of our global expenditure at the moment. And one of the rationales behind establishing a national collaborative research program in cardiovascular disease is to expand that expenditure on heart and stroke and diabetes research. And then violence and injury is probably number four in terms of mortality in this country, accounting for about 9% of deaths in 2004. And we have a large program of research in crime, violence, and injury. Brain and behavior is important, and we expend money there. But probably the fifth most important problem in South Africa, in terms of deaths certainly, is pneumonia and other infections. And honorable members may remember that stats after 2004 showed that something like 78,000 deaths, or 18% of the total, were due to pneumonia and other infections, including influenza. And the MRC has a very broad portfolio of research in this field. You can see the number of research units engaged in that area of work, and it accounts for something like 10% of our global expenditure on research. Then cancer, as I've mentioned, honorable members, is an increasing problem in South Africa. Hence, the establishment of our collaboration with the Cancer Society of South Africa to try and increase funding and activity in cancer research in South Africa. And that's a very important initiative for the future. Of course, in South Africa, with our legacy of colonialism and apartheid, but also our situation as a developing nation and a country in which exist both rich and poor, in which exist both excellent health systems and also health systems that are struggling to meet the needs of their population. Public health research is of primary importance, and that's why the MRC spends about 5% of its budget, global budget, on public health research units, or 14% of the baseline expenditure on public health research units, and some of those lists are listed here. Nutrition, women, maternal and child health are important issues, and there's considerable expenditure there, as is also environment and health, where we have a significant expenditure. Health promotion is important, and we have two main research units there, and some expenditure there. And malaria is an important continental imperative for the MRC, and we expend something like 29% of our budget is spent on malaria, but the majority of that, as you can see, comes from external sources such as the Global Fund, the Gates Foundation, etc. Only 8% of our baseline expenditure is spent on malaria. African traditional medicine, we spend money there as well. It's important in terms of exploiting our biodiversity and also our traditional medicine systems. And then I mentioned that genomics and proteomics is an important area for us in terms of research and also supporting other research. Now, the question you always ask is, do we have enough money? And the answer is yes, but one can only do with more money. We are training lots of scientists. We are addressing the health priorities of South Africa. We are, I think, doing good work in that regard, but we could always do more. And so this slide shows what we could do with more money. Scenario one, if the MRC budget were doubled. Scenario two, if the MRC budget were trebled. In capacity development, for example, we graduate something like 49 PhDs every year. Many of them are black African PhDs. But our feeling is that our 45 units should be graduating at least double the number of PhDs, more like 100 PhDs a year. We have 16 postdoctoral students in our research units. We feel we should have double that number. We expend money on 8 career awardees who are post-postdocs. These are the future research leaders. We feel we need double that number in order to lead our research units in the future. And we feel we need to create career paths for research scientists. White, colored, Indian, and black scientists in universities do not go into health research because there is no future in terms of a career. And it is critically important that government should establish long-term career paths within health research. Otherwise, young people will quite sensibly not tread that path because it leads nowhere. In cardiovascular disease, I've mentioned that there is a growing burden of cardiovascular disease in this country. It already accounts for about 26% of deaths. And we feel that we need to dramatically expand expenditure and activities in that regard, like a mixture of 25 million rand a year, possibly 50. Capital expenditure, we've had a serious problem, not just in health research, but science generally in this country in terms of degrading capital equipment for research, and there needs to be much more expenditure in upgrading that capital equipment. And then in establishing our national collaborative research programs, there needs to be considerable expenditure. Refurbishment of MRC buildings and plants is important, and we have a desperate situation in KwaZulu-Natal where we have about 400 staff and buildings that are inadequate and a lack of laboratories to support the very important research in HIV and TB that's going on there. And then human resource development generally, there's a need to expand efforts in that. And then innovation and technology transfer. The intellectual property generated through our scientists' research has great potential in producing new drugs, vaccines, biologicals, medical devices, and natural products for improve the health of our people. So one could make a case for doubling the MRC's baseline budget for government. One could make a case for trebling it. MRC personnel. The MRC is a knowledge-creating company, and people are therefore our most important resource. Currently, we have about 854 people on the MRC payroll, but in all, in our research units, both intramurally and extramurally, we support about 468 research scientists. We also support 150 scientists who submit self-initiated research protocols. Our 45 units have 216 PhD students studying in them, and 50 of those graduate every year. They have about 150 master students. Svaznay VAX Initiative, which is universally hailed as the most impressive HIV vaccine development program in the developing world, has about 223 people working on it in South Africa, but also has extensive international collaboration. So there are about 2,000 people either employed by or associated with MRC. The productivity, what have we done with your money? We measure productivity in research by peer-reviewed publications, and you can see in the slide from 1993 to 2007, there has been a steady increase in peer-reviewed publications, increase of about 7% per annum. Those 664 peer-reviewed publications represent 40% of the health research output of South Africa. So with 20% of the government's health research budget, we produce 40% of South Africa's research output. And as you can see, the staff component has also grown. And so you can see in our 45 units, the productivity ratio in terms of public peer-reviewed publications for senior scientists is about 2.2. The average, by the way, in universities in this country would be of the order of about 0.4 to 0.6. Our intramural scientists are pretty productive with a ratio of about 1.6, and our extramural scientists are very productive with a ratio of 2.4. So taxpayers' money is well spent in supporting research in the MRC. And you can see in terms of the budget, I mentioned that 55% of the budget comes from external sources and 45% from government. The 204 million from government is about 20% of the 1 billion rand that government spends on health research every year. And our outputs, all the A-rated health research scientists in South Africa are MRC directors. We produce, as I say, 668 peer-reviewed publications, 40% of South Africa's health research outputs. We hold about 20 patents, current and pending, including patents in HIV vaccines. We produce about 20 technical reports, mainly for the National Department of Health, but also for other government agencies to inform the work that they do. We graduate 49 PhDs a year and 50 master's students a year from our 45 research units. However, all this research is all very well, but unless it is translated into other areas, it can make no difference to health. It simply builds the CV of the research scientist. And so we have this motto called GRIP, which means getting research results into policy, practice, promotion, and health products. Policy, mainly informing health policy in the National Department of Health, but also in other government departments. Practice, the health practice of doctors, nurses, pharmacists, physiotherapists, etc., is often influenced by the results of MRC research. Health promotion, mainly communicated through the media to the general public about how they can live healthier lives. And also new products that we hope in the future will increasingly come from MRC research, including new pharmaceuticals, biologicals, medical devices, and traditional medicine. So in the future, we hope that we can improve the research translation by ensuring that the 664 publications that we publish every year in our research report, which accompanies the annual report, which we'll be presenting to you later this year. We hope that we can identify the 1,000 units of knowledge that are contained in those 664 publications, which have implications for policy and practice in all the top 10 causes of death and disease in South Africa. So we hope that in addition to the annual report research report, we could provide a research translation report that would list these 1,000 items of new knowledge generated by MRC researchers every year, and also briefly identify the implications for policy, practice, product development, and health promotion. So that is work for this year in terms of our strategic plan this year. The MRCC is transforming. This slide shows that at all levels of the MRC, executive management at the top, the MRC in March this year was 80% black, that black being colored Indian and African black, and was 20% female. Senior management, 55% black, 57% female. Middle management, 51% black, 63% female. Skills, 85 and 72. Standard skills, 96 and 67. Unskilled, 95 and 52. And the MRC as a whole, it's 854 employees. We are 82% black, and we are 67% female. 838 personnel here at that count. There were 410 who were black Africans, South Africans. That's 49% of the total personnel. 18% were so-called colored, 18% white, and 14% South Africans of Indian descent. And you can see how it's changed over the last 10 years. On the left, 1997, the different levels within the MRC, from unskilled to executive, and on the right, March 2007. And you can see that there have been changes in terms of transformation of demography within the MRC. So to conclude, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members, the MRC strategic plan and budget for 2007 will ensure that the MRC continues to grow and develop its portfolio of research, development, and technology transfer activities. It will ensure that there will be a consistent year-on-year increase in the quantity, and since last year, the increase has been 7%, in the quantity and quality of MRC research publications, which currently account for about 40% of South Africa's health research output. It will ensure that the growth in the external income of the organization continues, but at a more reasonable pace of about 5% per annum, whilst the baseline grant keeps track with inflation, growing at about 6% per annum, though we'll be happy to grow quicker than that. Within the MRC, there are now increasing numbers of black and female scientists at doctoral and postdoctoral level. Translation of research results is continuing into policy, into practice, into products, and in health promotion. And the MRC moves into the future confident that it can deliver on its mandate of using research, development, and technology transfer to provide new health solutions for improving the health and quality of life of all South Africans. However, there is a need for additional funds to more adequately fund existing research efforts, to train more scientists, especially black African scientists, and provide career paths for researchers in general, to refurbish the aging capital equipment in MRC research units, to exploit new opportunities of research such as stem cell research, genomics and proteomics, computational bioinformatics, behavioral science, and health economics, to provide more inputs, both human and institutional, for South Africa's biotechnology and pharmaceutical industry, to more fully exploit the biodiversity of South Africa in order to develop natural medicines and novel pharmaceuticals, to respond to health crises as they arise in terms of rapidly developing research and evidence-based solutions for government, to reduce the tendency to become donor-driven in the MRC research portfolio, and to improve the process of research, of translational research results into health policy, health practice, health products, and health promotion. That is our dream, Honourable Members.
I understand that the last time MRC met with the portfolio committee, there was much emotion charged about the integrity of our research with respect to clinical trials with macrobicides. I've asked Professor Mbewu to just give the committee an update and to assure the committee members about the integrity of our research.
Yes, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members, there was great concern about a very serious issue in our microbicide research portfolio. As you know, the MRC is currently involved in about four major international microbicide clinical trials. And one of these, the Conrad clinical trial, had to be terminated prematurely in January this year due to a report that there seemed to be more HIV infections amongst the women who were receiving the placebo compared to women who were receiving the placebo. That trial was terminated, but soon after there were reports in the media of gross ethical and protocol violations within MRC clinical trial sites. As the Honourable Members know, I and some of my senior executives met with the Minister of Health, the Director General of Health, and other senior officials, as well as senior officials from the Medicines Control Council, the National Health Research Ethics Committee, in order to consider this crisis. And we recommended at that meeting that the National Health Research Ethics Committee should send an inspectorate down to KwaZulu-Natal to look at the MRC clinical trial sites, to look at the protocols that were being used, to interview some of the clinical trial participants, to discover if there was any substance behind these reports of gross ethical and protocol violations. The final report of the National Health Research Ethics Committee is currently being drafted and will be delivered to the Minister of Health, and she will take whatever action is appropriate after that. But the informal report that we've received from the chairperson of the National Health Research Ethics Committee is that they have found no evidence of ethical violations. They have found no evidence of protocol violations. And in fact, they were impressed by the quality of the conduct of the clinical trial within that CONVAD clinical trial. Interestingly, another of the four major clinical trials, which is currently underway, the MDP trial, recently also had an inspection from the Medicines Control Council. All clinical trials had to be inspected by the Medicines Control Council at a reasonable interval. And even that MDP trial was found to be conducted according to the highest standards in terms of protocol and ethics. So the official report is not out yet. It has to be delivered to the Minister of Health first, and will then she will then presumably transmit it as she sees fit. But I felt it was important, we felt it was important that the honourable members should at least receive an initial briefing concerning the outcome of those investigations.
Thank you very much, Professor Mbeu and Professor Ramashaba, for the input and also for the latter part of the explanation. My recollection, I think, when we were briefing us about the microbicide research and the problems thereof, members will correct me. I don't think we actually doubted the competencies as well as the ethics of the MRC. In fact, if my memory serves me well, which I think it is, we actually firstly appreciated your reporting to us, and especially in those aborted trials, I think what was the name given? Conrad. In those, and then I think there was a major issue, which in a way was equally explained, but was to be further pursued around following up some of the people that could not be reached, who were actually part of the trials, so as to ensure that everybody is actually found as a further process to the system. So I think from our sense, of course, I think even then we did make reference to the fact that we're hoping that all of us are understanding the presentation in the same level. Of course, the media would also call a report in this particular way to maximize whatever it wants to maximize. That can be controlled by us. But from our perspective, and as well as our role in the portfolio committee, we sincerely, I think, appreciated and acknowledged the work done. We had said, I think, when all the processes are done, I think you were saying that there were other three trials that were still being pursued, and there was still research for other people. And when that process comes back to us, if, of course, the report goes to the minister and will come back, we will, of course, as soon as it reaches the minister, demand that we as a committee are briefed about that particular report. Thank you very much for this. I just wanted to clarify that. Honourable members, that's the report. May I invite questions, comments? Thank you. Honourable Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much for a very comprehensive briefing. It's always problematic, Chair, when the presenters answer the questions before the questions are asked. So, but that's the sign of a very good presentation. So I do thank you for that. I'm interested to know, because many of our health priorities are similar to that of our neighbouring countries, whether you work in collaboration with any of our, well, not so much neighbouring countries possibly in broader SADC and so on. I'd imagine with your research capabilities and expertise and staff complements, that there are opportunities, in fact, for collaboration and indeed more funding from those countries to complete studies that would benefit the broader region. I'm also interested to know, then, flowing from that question, whether you have won opportunities for professionals and researchers from other African countries to work in your institution here, and indeed whether your researchers, professional staff, have similar opportunities to work in other of our, in other countries in SADC or the broader region, because indeed I'm sure those synergies would be very, very beneficial to you. Thanks. That's right for the moment, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, mine is, I would think it will be very simple. I just want to know what is the comparison, how could we or MRC compare the external competitive grants with the rest of the Department of Health, because it's as if the competitive external competitive grants are doing much more for the MRC to execute its mandate as compared to what are we actually actually the department budgeting for them. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is on the Italian HIV vaccine project. I just want to find that also, ask for more clarity on whether the Italian HIV vaccine is fused into our SAAIV, or is it a separate project altogether?
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. Honourable Morgan was asking about collaboration with neighbouring countries and countries further afield. Yes, the MRC does have extensive and growing collaborations with other African countries, particularly in the area of malaria, both in terms of training of control personnel, malaria research, and also basic science, and also in health systems with countries such as Zambia, Tanzania, etc. We also ensure that we leverage international funds into these collaborations. So, for instance, the European Developing Clinical Trials Platform is a 5 billion rand program, which is headquartered in The Hague, but its African headquarters is at the MRC Cape Town. And through EDCTP, our scientists collaborate with other African scientists in countries such as Kenya and Zambia, together with European scientists, to develop new drugs for TB, HIV, and malaria. And we also have similar collaborations within Global TB Alliance in testing new treatment regimens for tuberculosis to try and shorten treatment from 9 months down to, from 6 months rather, down to about 2 or 3 months. And then, yes, we do have people from other African countries coming to work within our laboratories in South Africa. Obviously, we are very careful about avoiding a brain drain from other African countries to South Africa, and we comply also strictly with the regulations of the Department of Home Affairs in that regard, because obviously our South Africans must always have primacy in access to positions in the MRC and our research units. Our scientists also do visit other African countries and collaborate in research with them, and sometimes actually spend a year or two or more. We currently have a biostatistician working in Nairobi, in fact, two biostatisticians working in Nairobi in research, which then collaborates also with working on it in South Africa. The Honourable Montanella asked about this tension between external income and government income through Department of Health. In one sense, we see the 220 million rand a year that we win through competitive grants as being a mark of the high quality of the work that our research scientists do. So we don't regret or begrudge it. However, we also feel that it would be useful for government to channel more health research money to the MRC. Currently, of the 1 billion rand a year that government spends on health research, only 20% is channeled through the MRC, whereas comparative countries like the United States, that figure would be more like 70% through the NIH, and the UK more like 50% to the British MRC. And as I say, the MRC is not donor-driven. Our research does address health priorities, but often the way you do a particular research project is very much influenced by what the donor wants. And it's obviously better if you have your own government money and you can determine exactly how the research is done. And then the Honourable Member asked about the Italian vaccine project. The Italian vaccine project is funded by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of the Italian government. The Minister of Health signed it off in December last year. And it will collaborate with Sabi in that the vaccine that is being tested in a phase 2B trial will be tested within two or three Sabi clinical trial sites. So yes, there will be close collaboration with Sabi investigators and trial sites.
Thank you very much. Further questions, Honorable Manana.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mine is with regards to the tuberculosis as the first killer in South Africa. You know, there's been talks about this MDR. If maybe the MRC can elaborate on what they are doing with regards to that. With regards to this donor funding, I think we need to take this matter to discuss it with the Department of Health very strongly, because at the end of the day, if really the donor can be the one who's driven our research in South Africa, we're going to be in serious danger.
Thanks, Chair. Well, yes, I mean, I think the answer to that is to give to pass the MRC more money from government. I'm also interested in, if you could expand, please, on the XDR-TB testing. I mean, I think the current, one of the problems with dealing with XDR-TB is that the current testing, in order to get a diagnosis is a huge amount of time. I think it's several weeks or so on. How is that going? If I'm not mistaken, you are working on that. Secondly, not necessarily to do with your actual presentation, but it'd be interesting to hear. There's been some fantastic work done in recent years in reducing the incidences of malaria in South Africa, truly remarkable work related largely to the reintroduction of controlled spraying of DDT. Now, the results seem to speak for themselves in terms of the end. I mean, there was a terrible year a few years ago when it was not used. But I see some research coming out from another institution, it might have been in Pretoria, that is now claiming a link with reduced sterility amongst men. I'm interested to know whether MRC's view on this, if it has a view, and whether any ongoing research, if you have any current research on the efficacy of DDT. And my last question is with regard to diabetes, which you yourself acknowledge along with other chronic conditions, certainly requires more funding for research in South Africa. If you could just, you know, provide a few comments on the extent that diabetes is a problem in South Africa and the trend line that is currently on, I'd appreciate that.
Thank you very much, Honorable Smoke. I will hand over to you, Professor Bill. But to go back maybe to this question of donor funding, I think it may be important to us. I think the point Honorable Manan and Matsimela were raising, that it's always good to source money from other sources. But it causes a danger. We're seeing it in a number of spheres of life from a number of donors. But that also tends to have its own unintended consequences. And we'll be debating our health budget on the 7th of June. And this must be one of the matters that, unfortunately, the Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Harold Muller, is with us. That this might be one of the issues of the, because we don't want to just go and debate this and we leave one of the most important areas. So we really want to further, you know, expatiation on this particular point. But one of the things I've gleaned in your presentation of the report, you outlined, of course, TB, but the report speaks as if there has been no XDR-TB in the intervening period of your presentation of your report. It just glosses over. I would have thought in your presentation, apart from the questions that are coming from honorable members, there would have been an indication. I mean, you mentioned, amongst others, in one of your areas of your focus, the rapid response. And in the rapid response, I would have thought that the XDR-TB with the consequent challenges and the fact that there has not been any serious research on TB drugs for decades, that given this particular challenge, as a primary research institute in our country, and this primary challenge of XDR tuberculosis, something would have given, if perhaps is the process. I'm not sure perhaps it was just a way your presentation or my observation is right, that your report doesn't talk at all about this particular challenge. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. Yes, Honorable Chairperson, yourself and Honorable Nana, focus on the issue of tuberculosis, and it is perhaps an oversight that I didn't say much more about it. But the MRC is extremely active in TB research and has been for the last 30, 40 years. As we all know, it's the number one killer in South Africa, often occurring in people living with HIV and AIDS, accounting for about 78,000 deaths in 2004, and increasing year by year. What the MRC has been doing, as well as basic science research, clinical research and operational and policy research that has been going on for years, we have increased our efforts in terms of looking at the epidemiology of XDR and working hand in hand with the NHLS and the National Department of Health and Provincial Health Departments in that regard, identifying the outbreaks and trying to establish some idea of incidence and prevalence, but also in terms of developing new diagnostic interventions. I mentioned our collaboration with Fine Diagnostics, a public-private partnership in Geneva funded by Gates Foundation, where together with the National Health Laboratory Services, we have started a demonstration project looking at developing a diagnostic which would rapidly reduce the time taken to diagnose drug-resistant tuberculosis, reducing it from about 2 months down to about 2 days, which could have a dramatic effect in terms of identifying people with either MDR or XDR-TB. In addition, our scientists have work closely with the National Department of Health in terms of workshops with other SADC countries, where scientists and policymakers from SADC countries have met in Pretoria together with the, convened by the National Department of Health, with the MRC as a participant, and with WHO as a participant, in terms of looking at the problem, and in terms of starting training initiatives to train healthcare workers, etc., to diagnose XDR-TB and begin to deal with it, and also, very importantly, to prevent cross-infection within hospital wards and infection of health personnel. So the MRC, for example, has a research unit in Mpumalanga that looks at UV light as a way of killing the TB bacillus circulating in the air in TB wards in order to increase the protection for both other patients on the ward and also for the healthcare personnel. So we are extremely active in tuberculosis and in MDR and in XDR, and it was an oversight that I can say more about it. The honourable members mentioned about money from government, etc., and that tension between competitive external grants and money from government. As I say, external competitive grants are useful in that they show that your research is of internationally adjudged high quality, and it also fits you into the various networks. So, for instance, with SAVI, with SAVI's VAC initiative, government is expending about 45 million rand a year on the SAVI VAC initiative. But the MRC and the SAVI scientists leverage probably another 100 to 150 million a year through the collaborations with NIH, etc., etc. So I'm not one to decry those external competitive grants, but only to say that in terms of the imperatives that are identified in capacity development, capital equipment, refurbishment, etc., it would be useful to get more money from government. And then the issue of malaria. Yes, the MRC was at the forefront in terms of identifying that residual spraying with DDT could dramatically reduce new malaria infections. And the work was so significant, in fact, that WHO, a long-time opponent of DDT, changed its global policy earlier this year to say to developing countries, residual spraying is an important part of malaria control efforts. Whether DDT causes sterility or not, I really don't know. There have been reports of toxicity from DDT for the last 30 years, and most of those reports have not been validated and have caused immense damage to control efforts for malaria. So that malaria, as we all know, now accounts for 2 million deaths a year, most of those in Africa, and nearly a million children dying of malaria every year. And Africa's GDP reduced by a couple percent because of the malaria outbreaks are uncontrolled in Central and West Africa, but are being controlled in Southern Africa. So South Africa and the MRC has actually led the world in terms of malaria control policy. And we've worked very closely with the National Department of Health and with the provincial departments in Mpumalanga, KwaZulu-Natal, and Limpopo in this regard. Diabetes is a growing problem. It's related to issues such as obesity. As the honourable members know, we are becoming an increasingly obese nation. Something like 50% of women are overweight and approximately 20% of men. And as a result, type 2 diabetes mellitus, that's non-insulin-dependent diabetes mellitus, is increasing. We're unsure as to the exact prevalence of type 2 diabetes mellitus in the population. It may be of the order of about 4%. But what we do know is that it is increasing, and experience from other emerging economies and developing countries shows that unless steps are taken in terms of primary prevention, it will increase dramatically and get out of hand. And then lastly, in terms of drug development, the MRC is involved in TB drug development in terms of clinical trials of regimens. As I said, that will shorten treatment time, hopefully, from 6 months down to about 2 months. I myself sit on the board of the Global TB Alliance, which is one of the international agencies coordinating TB drug development globally. And there is actually a need to dramatically expand TB clinical trial sites in South Africa. The MRC only has one, and there are other universities also have clinical trial sites. But in order to try and increase the numbers of TB drugs, it's very important to expand the clinical trial site. And one of the main methods by which we will control MDR and XDR will be by having a bigger armamentarium of drugs in the first place, so that we can destroy the mycobacterium before it develops resistance to many of the drugs that we have.
Thank you very much. I said, out of this presentation, one has picked up the unfortunate position that the MRC might find itself in. And some of those things are quite alarming and very critical. And I'm very much happy that someone from finance is here, Chairperson. It has been mentioned from the presentation that some of the equipment in the laboratory are not in a good standard presently. Secondly, it has been mentioned in the report that some of the researchers are leaving the MRC presently, and one may be quite aware as to why some of them are leaving the MRC presently. And there is this thing, again, it has been mentioned of doubling of the MRC baseline budget, but again, I would need clarity around that because I don't understand what is that in essence, so as to address all South Africa's health research priorities adequately, because it means if all of this, the three that I've mentioned, if maybe not been addressed adequately, it means some of the issues, the health of many South African people will be in danger. Now, I just want to know as to whether this budget, because I'm so much interested in this budget of 2007-2008, is it not going to address number of issues that MRC is intending to achieve at the end of the day? And for instance, we have just adopted a new strategic plan for HIV and AIDS. But if you found that MRC is faced with number of these issues, would we, as a Department of Health, achieve many, many other things that the MRC is intending to achieve? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Mine is on your priorities. You've got here cancer, and under cancer, you've got your cervical cancer as one of your priorities. I just want to find out as to whether the breast and cervical cancers are under control. To be your priority.
Thank you very much. We still have another presentation to take. On your page 7, and again perhaps on the implementation of shared values, you mentioned the fraud prevention plan and whistleblowing, sexual harassment policy, communication, so on. Are you with me there?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. But again, you are not saying anything whether you have faced any problems in particular around fraud and perhaps some of the problems. Given the sensitivities and the of your establishment, and in my own view, it would be the target, not also of various intelligence interest, economic intelligence, medical intelligence, etc., and a number of other issues. You are saying nothing, perhaps. Whether you have faced any problematic areas around that. You may perhaps comment on that one. Will I be right when I say that the budget for the baseline budget, that is your allocation for the Department of Health, is 199.7 and the grant is 244 million. Am I right? Okay. And then on your page 6, when you were taking us through this presentation, you you when you come into the biotechnology program survey, you said it's progressing very well apparently. I'm not sure why you use the word apparently. I just took notice of that, and it may be of interest why the apparent word is actually used. Because I would have thought perhaps it's one thing also on our members, we may have to follow ourselves around this word. And my worry again, in the entirety of the presentation, you said very little about traditional medicine. You had mentioned some primate and bioinformatics, etc., around the technology, and then your commercialization entities, traditional medicine. But beyond that, you say nothing. And I would have thought by now there's a lot to be said. Indeed, it has not the systems, traditional medicine, collaboration of some of those indeed has not the systems into the science and understanding where they come from now, and translation perhaps into the mainstream of our health challenges and interventions. But nothing is said in your report. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Matsunella is concerned about our budget. The $199 million that we receive from the Department of Health is adequate to address all the health priorities of South Africa. And we do use that money for that. But the point I was trying to make is that we could do so much more with more money. Train more PhDs, train more postdocs, refurbish our laboratory equipment, refurbish our buildings, etc., etc. And we would prefer if that increased budget came from government rather than external donors. The money we do receive from external donors is prioritized. We are not donor-driven, and it is usefully used in terms of developing new interventions, etc., etc. But there is an opportunity to increase the funding of the MRC from government, and that would be well used in terms of research, better addressing the health crisis of Africa, and also building more capacity. So a good example would be within the NSP, the National Strategic Plan for HIV and AIDS. One of the targets in that is to halve new infections by 2012, I think it is. Now, clearly, there will be a need for behavioral, socio-behavioral research, because that will be one of the primary interventions in terms of halving new infections. And there will probably be a need for research in new technologies, such as microbicides, etc., etc. And that will probably need new money out of the $14 billion or so the government has assigned to the NSP over the next 5 years. It's important that some of that should be spent on research to assist government in attaining the targets it has set, for itself. And that's something that we need to, you know, carefully consider. Honorable Madam Minister asked about cancer, esophageal cancer. Yes, we do research in all the cancers, but again, there needs to be much more money spent on cancer research in South Africa. The research that's done in Europe and the United States is not always necessarily easily translatable to the South African context, and esophageal cancer is a good example of that. We have much higher rates than developed countries. And yes, we do research in breast cancer, and of course in cervical cancer, which is the number one cancer in South African women. Some of our research units have worked on vaccines against HPV, but there needs to be more research done in those areas. And then, Honorable Chairperson, you asked about fraud. Our CFO leads that area of risk management in the MRC. We have not had serious problems in terms of fraud at the MRC that we've been able to identify, but nevertheless, we are continually improving our systems to ensure that we can detect such. And and that includes the whistleblower system. The whistleblowing facility is managed by an independent body outside the MRC, and so far two cases have been reported, neither of which revealed evidence of fraud or misdemeanor. We are also establishing Office for Research Integrity with the MRC, modeled somewhat on the Office for Research Integrity in the NIH, to build a culture of research integrity amongst scientists in South Africa generally. Our scientists do have high research integrity and high standards in terms of ethics and protocol conduct. But nevertheless, we are aware that there's a need for some sort of office research integrity with the MRC to service both the organization and scientists generally in health research. SAVI, yes, the reason I use the term apparently is because SAVI has recently had a review by ESCOM and DST. For some reason, the Department of Health was not part of that review team, which mystifies me, I have to say. I have received a report from DST on this review, and I think if you read the report, the science and the conduct of SAVI was excellent. SAVI is, and the international review panel members mentioned to me privately that they are very impressed by the work that's been done in SAVI. However, I think the contentious issues around issues of corporate governance as to whether SAVI should remain under the program of the MRC or should be taken out of the MRC under some other agency or as a standalone or whatever. Now, these are issues that I think the National Department of Health will probably debate with Department of Science and Technology, and so that's the issue around there. Traditional medicine, yes, Honorable Chairperson, we do a lot of work in traditional medicine. Perhaps I might be able to say a bit more about it when we come and present our annual report. I myself was appointed to the Presidential Task Team on African Traditional Medicine, and we have made a lot of progress over the past several years. It is very difficult. There have been a lot of obstacles, but we have established capacity for both phytochemistry with four postdoc phytochemists working with the MRC in traditional medicine for AIDS, traditional medicine for TB, for diabetes, for everything. As the honorable members know, we follow a twin-track approach, that of traditional phytochemistry, where you look at the plant and try and extract the active chemical agent for the particular disease. And then the other approach, in terms of indigenous knowledge systems, where you study how the plant has been used in combination in communities over the last several centuries, and assess how you can evaluate its safety and its efficacy within that traditional context. And as I say, we've established a manufacturing facility at Delft so that we can manufacture large batch lots for research of the traditional medicine, process them, you know, sterilize them, so that they can be used in research and there may be commercial possibilities later. And we've also been doing work in terms of poverty alleviation, in terms of teaching people in rural areas of South Africa to cultivate particular medicinal plants, which are then harvested and processed by South African companies and are then exported to countries such as Germany. And that includes things like pelargonium, etc. So we are very active there, and we can say much more at later meetings concerning that.
Okay, I must emphasize the importance of research capacity development. South Africa is actually in a crisis because research, not only in health, but in other areas as well, the researchers, the scientists were mostly white males who are now retiring, and there's a need for the country to replace those scientists. And therefore, the funding, most of the funding should be for research capacity building, focusing on health in our case.
Honorable Chair, honorable members, it looks like good business. We seem to, with an investment of 190 million, which is 44% of the budget, managed to attract a further 244 million of funds into the MRC, which I think is excellent. There's a very good leverage here. I take the point that somewhere along the line you need to walk guard against the donors starting to dictate policy. There doesn't seem to be at this point in time any problem with that. And I think the margin is still tolerable. But we need to look at perhaps the future funding of the MRC. For this year, the budget is more or less set. And let's see what they can produce for the next year. And then build the budget bit from there.
We shall be monitoring that very, very carefully. I can guarantee you. At any rate, we didn't complete your presentation last time because we had a lot of questions. And we'll have to look at that maybe quite intimately again. Honourable members, allow me to close this meeting because otherwise I'll be doing disservice to another presentation. I'm not sure if you agree with me.
Thank you very much. I think let's thank the chairperson of the board and the president and the entire senior management team of the MRC for their presentation. And I think, as usual, one of the things that we have come to value in the MRC presentation,
it always gives adequate information to us. And they always do adequate preparations. And I think it's one area that would always encourage that you should never let down on, because there's nothing else. I remember in some instances where we have to turn the whole province back. They've not prepared, they've not done anything. They come from a far off province. And we listened to the report. You could see there was no mind and time applied to the presentation. And it's so embarrassing even for all of us. But the most polite way to see